Welcome to Trinity Church. This week's podcast is from our recent Sunday morning service. You can also visit trinitychurch.life for more podcasts and videos of recent sermons.
Our reading today is Luke chapter 1, verses 18 to 23 and 57 to 64. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father and inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. The word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here. We thank you that you have been speaking all morning long. We thank you for what you've already done in quiet moments this morning, in the drive to the library, what you've spoken through the music, through the prayers, through the readings, through Ben. Spirit, we just ask that you would just continue to speak through our time together, that you would just open up our hearts and our minds to what it is that you have for each of us today. I pray, God, in these next few moments that any words that come from my mouth would be solely of you. That, God, anything that is not of you would not even make it to people's ears. Those words would just fall short. Speak to us now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jake. I'm the Greenwich location pastor. They let me out this week, so I get to be with you all here in Darien. We started this series last week called Decluttering Christmas. It just feels like that this time of year, in the midst of our already busy and jam-packed lives, it just ramps up around this time of year. We have all of these extra expectations, people who want to get together. We have that pressure of finding the perfect gift for the people that we love. And so we spend extra time in stores, shopping on Amazon, right? Who goes to the store anymore? We spend all this extra time searching and looking and hunting. Even if you're in a family that you might not play music around your house that much, Christmas just, it just forces you. You just have to blast Christmas music this time of year. And so we add that into our lives, and it just feels like everything gets more and more full. And so this series is all about paying attention to that clutter, to the busyness, to the noise, and looking at some specific practices that we can do to kind of pull back from that, to ask, what does Christ have for us in the midst of this season? And so we looked at simplicity last week, and today we're going to look at silence. Now, one thing that I found as I researched the topic of silence over the last couple of weeks that is universally accepted is that silence isn't just good for us, but actually excessive noise is really, really bad for us. I was pretty surprised to find out that chronic noise, numerous studies show that there are links to high blood pressure, increased rates of sleep loss, heart disease, and tinnitus. More than that, the World Health Organization in 2011, they concluded that out of the 340 million people who lived in Western Europe, which is roughly the same population size as the United States, they annually lost 1 million years of healthy life because of noise. It's even argued that 3,000 heart disease deaths a year are associated directly because of excessive noise. So it's not just that this practice of silence is good for us. The fact is that excessive noise, the constant noise that surrounds us, does a number on our bodies. Which leads to a question then of just why is silence so difficult? We did 30 seconds just a moment ago. For how many of you initially were like, what's wrong? Who missed a cue? What's going on? How many of you were like, went for your phones? Like, okay, this is weird. It's uncomfortable. Why is silence so difficult? I read a story recently about a woman who had got to take this group of teenagers from the inner city on a wilderness trip for the first time. And these teens, leaving the hustle and bustle of the city and the noise and the cars and everything that surrounded them, going into the woods and finding the silence, they couldn't sleep. They were so disturbed by the silence. And I think, admittedly, many of us probably actually aren't that far from that place. Silence can be really, really difficult. So why? I think there's a couple of things. First off, silence is just hard to find. I was chuckling to myself this week as I was sitting in Starbucks writing the sermon about silence. I had to put my own headphones in to pick my own music just to drown out the noise of around me of all the other people, the music coming from the speakers, the coffee grinders going. And so how many places do we have these days that we can actually enter into and find silence? When was the last time that you went to a restaurant and didn't have at least one TV in your peripheral vision? Normally, there's more than one, and they usually have different things on them. And so as you're trying to talk to the person there, you're like being drawn subconsciously to what's happening. And even with it muted, you're either reading the subtitles or you're seeing like the headlines, and it adds in. I already mentioned about going shopping this time of year and the excessive amount of people, the lines that we're waiting in. Or how about parents? Right? Silence isn't a good thing if you're a parent. Usually that means like somebody's dead, something's broken, something's wrong. Like, why is it quiet right now? But those of you with kids, our homes are filled with noise pretty consistently. But I think beyond that, even when we happen to find moments of silence, we tend to fill it pretty quickly. I mean, don't we remember the days where it was like one, maybe two times a day that external noise came into our homes, that newspaper would come in the morning, the mail person would come in the middle of the day and bring your mail, and that was it. But now it's just nonstop. Emails, texts, phone calls, Twitter notifications, Instagram updates, Snapchats, TikToks, sports scores. I mean, how many of your phones are just dinging all day yesterday with college football will be dinging all day today with the NFL? We get stock market updates, sell now, buy now. It's just incessant. I found some stats this week that suggested 69% of people check smartphones within the first 5 minutes of waking up. 86% of people constantly check their phones while talking to friends. Maybe some of you are on it right now. We'll see. 77% of people report that when nothing is occupying my attention, the first thing I do is reach for my phone. I did this yesterday, admittedly. I'm waiting in line at Stu Leonard's to get our Christmas tree put on our top of my car, and I'm alone, and I'm sitting in the car. So what do? I'm stopped, can't move. Well, let's go check my email. Let's look at Twitter. Oh, this is a really cool article. Let me read that now. Like, we are drawn, even when we find moments of silence, to fill it with noise from beyond ourselves. And so that leads us to another question. Why do we do that? Why, in the midst of all the external noise, when we do have it, do we try to fill the space? Well, I was fascinated by this quote from Robert Zatori, who's a cognitive neuroscientist. When it comes to our brains, there isn't really such thing as silence. In the absence of sound, the brain often tends to produce internal representations of sound. Now, in its simplest form, all it takes is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And that even though I stopped, how many of your minds filled in the blank? You keep going, and our brains are wired to do that. But more than that, deeper than that, when we find a reprieve from the external noise, we're left with our internal noise. What are our thoughts? What are our feelings? And the biggest question is, do we like what we hear? And I think that the answer to that question, I know the answer to that question for me, that's one of the reasons I grabbed my phone. That's one of the reasons I scrolled the Netflix playlist, because it's like, this is a little awkward. I don't know if I like how I'm feeling right now. Let's go back to the external noise, because that feels safer, that feels more comfortable at the moment. And the same place is exactly where Zechariah was left. So Zechariah, he was a priest. And he was selected to go into the temple holy place to offer the sacrifice. And as he does that, he has this vision. The angel Gabriel appears to him and tells him that even in his old age, even in his wife's old age, that they're going to have a son. And they're going to name him John. This is the boy who will become John the Baptist. And Zechariah's response was, no way. No, that's not true. That's not true. That can't happen. We're too old. Here are all the reasons why that can't happen. And as a result of that, the angel Gabriel tells him that he will not be able to speak. Now, what's fascinating here is we all very quickly go to that aspect of not being able to speak. So Zechariah's voice is taken away. But there's actually something else going on within the text, because verse 22, that word for mute, is more often translated as deaf within the New Testament. And it can actually mean both mute and deaf. And when you combine that with verse 62 and the fact that once John was born and they go to name him and they try to communicate with Zechariah, they make signs to his father. You don't make signs to somebody who's mute. You make signs to somebody who's deaf. And so what's interesting here is for Zechariah, for 9 months, has his voice taken away, but also has his ability to hear. All of his external noise is gone. And he doesn't have a smartphone. He doesn't have a library necessarily to go to. I mean, as a priest, he may have had access, would have had access to scrolls within the temple. So it's not like he's picking up a ton of books and filling his space. He literally was just left with his internal noise. And rather than just looking at it as a punishment, what were the benefits of this time? At the end of this time of silence, and we're going to look at Zechariah's song in a few moments, it seems like it was actually really, really good for Zechariah. And so what I want to look at for the rest of our time are the benefits of silence. The first benefit is simply that silence forces us to confront ourselves. That's exactly what Zechariah did. Again, the angel Gabriel had said, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, I brought you good news and you rejected that. And I actually think it's significant. It's kind of cool that the Gabriel's like, yeah, this is going to happen anyways. You're not going to receive the good news, but the fact that you didn't believe it, that you're wrestling with it, I want to do something in you in this silence. And so Zechariah was left with his own thoughts and his own feelings about God and about life. And here's the important thing. Our feelings and our thoughts, they come out in our lives one way or the other. We can use external noise to cover those things up, but they're gonna leak out. And typically when they leak out, when we're not actually dealing with them, when we're not confronting those things, it ends up coming out in pain and we hurt ourselves or we hurt other people. I think more often than not, they come out in one of three ways. The internal noise that we're met with in those moments are anger, shame, and fear. And I think, again, if we're honest, that's why a lot of us don't like when the external noise goes away. Because I think more often than not, we tend to find one of those three things and we don't like it. And can you imagine Zechariah dealing with all three of those? I don't think Zechariah left the temple and like went home happy and just for 9 months was like in this blissful like, oh, well, I have no voice. I have no hearing. And like, I think he had to wrestle through this. I almost think it took him 9 months. I'm sure he left angry at God. God's a jerk. This is miserable. Come on, that punishment doesn't fit the crime. Like, this seems too extreme, God. Can you imagine his fear of even walking out of the temple? What are the other priests gonna say to me? Oh gosh, what's my wife gonna say? I gotta like try to explain this to her. And I mean, how is this gonna go for me? mean, think about his shame. Priests were an esteemed position. It was even more esteemed that he got to go in to the inner part of the temple to do the sacrifice. That must means he was deemed pure enough, and like he bombed. An angel visits him. He got this special encounter, and like he completely failed. So again, imagine this inner thought life for Zechariah of like, man, I'm a bad Jew. I'm a bad priest. I'm a bad husband. So one way or another, our thoughts and our feelings come out, and silence invites us into them to be honest and real about what's there already. And that can lead us to a really important question, and that's simply just, are my thoughts and feelings true? And again, I think that's what Zechariah was faced with. Is he really a bad priest? Does he really need to be fearful? Is God really a jerk? Silence invites us into that. And if you're like me, I need very practical tools to kind of help with this process. I don't naturally just dive into my emotional life very well myself. This is a tool I came across a few months ago that was really helpful. And I would encourage you to find some silence at the end of a day, and you can kind of go through this process. Pick a situation that happened to you at some point during the day, and just honestly reflect on what was the automatic thought that came into my head based on the situation I was facing. And from there, what emotions then resulted because of that thought? And then from there, what were the actions that happened based on those thoughts and those emotions? So just as a practical example, you walk into a room at work and everybody laughs. Well, an automatic thought might be, well, everybody's laughing at me, which leads to feelings of shame, embarrassment, feeling ridiculed, which then could lead to like one of two actions. One, you leave. Well, I'm not gonna go in there. Or two, you just walk in and pretend it didn't happen, but yet internally, you're still feeling embarrassed and everybody laughed at me, and you just continue to ruminate on it yourself. And so it can leave you in this unhealthy, unhelpful place. And so just challenging yourself of, is that thought true? And again, I think this is a representation of what Zechariah was going through. He was left with that internal noise and left to wrestle with it and be challenged with it, and ultimately to invite the Holy Spirit into it to lead him to truth, which leads to our second benefit of silence, is that silence actually invites us to receive. And that might sound slightly odd at first. Dallas Willard kind of hits on that. We find complete silence shocking because it leaves the impression that nothing is happening. In a go-go world such as ours, what could be worse than that? So for all of my fellow doers out there, right? Like the idea of sitting in silence feels lazy, feels unproductive. Why are we bothering with this? But silence actually opens us up to receive. There was a scientific study a few years ago that actually concluded that 2 hours of silence, which wouldn't that be amazing? 2 hours of silence a day, which most of us do not have that. It would be great to have it. But 2 hours of silence a day actually led the brain to develop new brain cells in the areas of learning, memory, and emotions. And so not only is excessive noise have a traumatic impact on our bodies, silence actually has a traumatic impact in our bodies in a really positive way. It actually trains our brains to want to receive and learn new information, helps us process memories in more healthy ways, and leads us to healthier emotional processing. And again, this was the ultimate goal of Zechariah. Zechariah literally received, at the end of his time of silence, a child, not to be guaranteed for your times of silence, okay? But I think more than that, again, Gabriel was bringing good news. God wanted Zechariah to receive this good news about himself, about his life, about his family. And I think ultimately that time of silence was that God wanted him to receive that same good news. So again, going back to our practical example, going around the triangle the first time just kind of helps us identify what thoughts and what feelings are there. And again, it helps us ask if they're true. But the thing is if they're not 100% true, they're not helpful. And so the second time you can go around the triangle, you can actually begin to train your brain and practice having true thoughts and truer reactions to this. And so you go through the same situation. I walked into the room and everyone laughed at me. Or everyone laughed. Well, a replacement thought might be, well, maybe somebody told a joke right before I walked in. That elicits a completely different emotional response because now you're curious. Now you want to know what happened, which then elicits a completely different action because now I want to ask somebody what I missed. And the more that we can practice this, the more that we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives to say, God, lead us to what is true. And I think about Romans 12:2, right? That we should be transformed by the renewal of our mind. I think about Philippians 4:8, where Paul encourages us to think about whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, praiseworthy. I think about what we sung, lead me to your heart. As we wrestle and grapple with the thoughts and feelings that we do have, and then we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and lead us to actual truth, it will change the way that we approach the world. And this stuff happens subconsciously all the time, every moment. I mean, we are doing these processes. Our brain is doing this subconsciously. I heard this week that 97% of what our brain does is subconscious. This is happening, and so when we can actually use silence to engage in it, to practice it, to recognize our patterns, to lead us to truth and better ways of thinking, it allows us to receive new messages about ourselves, healthier messages about ourselves. It will lead to better engagement with the people around us. Another story I think of is the story of Elijah. God invites him up onto the mountain. And the story goes that a hurricane wind ripped through the mountains, but God was not in the winds. And after that, an earthquake came, but God was not in the earthquake. And after that, a fire came, but God wasn't in the fire. And after that, there was a gentle and quiet whisper. And in that moment, Elijah exited the cave and engaged with God, where God told him what he was supposed to do. God led him in his next few steps and invited him to call Elisha to follow him as a prophet. In moments of silence, when we can clear out the unhelpful things, it leaves us in a posture of being open-handed before God, where we can receive his truth, where we can receive God's message and leading for our lives. And that leads us to our third benefit of silence. It ultimately, silence prepares us for a better life. This is something that Jesus got at over and over again. In the Gospel of John, he said that I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And I've always loved this word abundantly because it means an overflowing. That God would be pouring into us so much that we just can't help, but it just bubbles out of us and influences the other people around us. Florence Nightingale, a 19th century British nurse, said this, that unnecessary noise is the most cruel absence of care that can be inflicted on the sick or the well. See, silence challenges us to think about the noise that we contribute to the world around us. Because if we're operating out of our anger, our shame, our fear, we're not going to be contributing positive noise and positive actions and positive behaviors that are going to make God's kingdom come on earth. It just creates hell and destruction and brokenness when we act that way. And so silence forces us to come to grips with what is the noise that we are adding into the world. And when you think about Zechariah's song that comes right after the birth of John, I mean, Zechariah is a completely transformed person. He goes from saying, no way, that can't happen. God can't do that. We're too old. Here are all the barriers. Not true. To saying this. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guard our feet into the way of peace. I mean, how different can you get? Zechariah was confronted with himself. He had to come to grips with the thoughts and the feelings and the things that were inside of him when his external noise cut away. And he then allowed God, obviously, to lead him to a place of truth, to a place of life, that when he then was able to speak, his noise contributed hope and joy and celebration and love and all of these other amazing, powerful things into the world around him. And I really believe that that's the same thing that God wants for each one of us. As I thought about how to end, I had thought about going back to a moment of silence, but honestly, I felt like another minute or two would kind of cheapen the practice as a whole, because it's not about just 1 minute. These kind of practices, if you're going to use that kind of triangle, or if you want to use some of the things that are in the Advent guide for silence, it's not just a quick, easy thing. But it's actually about being really purposeful to build in times into your schedule. I mean, almost take your phone out now, schedule some silent time this week. Where can you fit it in and then stick to it? But just a couple ideas. I mean, simply practicing awareness, using that triangle guide, or simply just being willing to dive into your thought life and your emotion life. It's going to be uncomfortable. It'll feel weird at first. I know, honestly, it's one of the biggest reasons that I'll grab my phone pretty quickly. I want to avoid that. But being purposeful to actually say, how am I feeling? How is my heart? Okay, God, what do you want to speak into that? Find some time to go for a walk outside. Just be in God's nature, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you, making God's presence noticeable to you. Consider taking a social media fast. Just shut it down this week. At the very least, put on Do Not Disturb. When you're having coffee or a meal with a friend, turn your phone off. Get a basket for your home where all of you and your kids, you put your devices off to the side for a meal together. Cut out the external noise so that you can actually listen and be present together. And then lastly, the other idea we suggested was practice listening in conversation with friends and family. And this might feel counterintuitive, because that feels like, well, that's external noise. But this one's actually kind of a reverse of silencing your internal noise so that you can just be present with other people. Because how quick in conversations are we to fill in the gap, or we're already thinking about our response before the other person actually finishes? And so maybe for you, practicing silence this week means actually biting your tongue, asking more open-ended questions, really paying attention to the people that are around you. There are a couple more ideas in the Advent guide. If you got one, you can check them out there. If you didn't, they're on the table just outside. You could also feel free to Google practices of silence, and you will find lots more suggestions. So my challenge to all of us is that this week, we'd really find time, make the space to engage in silence. Allow that silence to have you wrestle with yourself, lead you into newness and into truth, and then back into the world of noise with healthier and better things to contribute. Let me pray for us as we go to the table. God, I think back to the creation story right now. That God, for 6 days that you spoke and you created and you did, and that on the seventh day you rested, you remained silent for that day. And that God, that silence isn't about not engaging, but that silence is actually this invitation. God, I thank you that you extend that invitation to all of us. And God, I pray that we would be people that would not run from the silence, but would pursue it. That just like Elijah, God, that we would hear your still and gentle voice in the breeze. God, lead us to places of greater health in our relationships, within our families. God, lead us to places of greater health in our souls, in our heads, and in our hearts. God, just continue to speak to us throughout this time together. We pray all this in Jesus' name.
If you'd like to check out some more about Trinity, you can visit our website at www.trinitychurch.life.